Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. As I mentioned before, I gave you all the accolades on our very honored guest who is with us today. And I see that he's online already, and I want to welcome him. So without any further ado, I will welcome Professor Nex Rettleford. Are you on, sir?
Yes, Miss Marshall.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
When the listeners listen, it will be afternoon, but I've already told them I am just so honored, sir, that you would take the time to join the Labrish, because that's what we do here on Backyard Labrish. I don't know if you're too familiar with the format, but we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, and this is the Backyard Labrish segment of it. And Backyard Labrish is established to celebrate, inform, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. So I want to again welcome you. I've already told our listeners before you came on of your very, it's so impressive that I personally do not think that there's any other Jamaican that I have researched or I know of that has as many honors, or American for that matter, as you have, sir, because I've counted them, and I don't know if you know, there are 19 honorary degrees. Were you, are you keeping numbers?
No.
Well, you might learn a couple of things about yourself today.
Indeed.
And as I told my listeners, I'm building this as a conversation. Because number one, you might not know this, but I'm a senior's senior. And my listeners know me as a senior because I celebrated my 74th birthday this past March.
Oh, good.
So I think we're sort of in the same category.
Good. I was about to say welcome aboard.
I call it the waiting room, not waiting to exhale, really, but,
yes.
You know, it's a room where I can just look around and observe,
yes,
and look back and forward, you know what I mean?
Some people call it the departure lounge.
Oh, no, I won't go that far. I'm in the waiting room.
Good.
So, welcome to the show again, and we really appreciate you taking the time to labrish with us. And on behalf of the association that you're here to represent today, I want to thank you because I read from all that I've read about you, from your students and some of your documents and all the books that you have penned, that your passion is real and diversified. But I think that mostly what I get from what I read about you and what people say about you is your passion not only for education but for the arts.
Yes.
And because the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta is focused on early childhood education, I wanted to sort of have this conversation go towards what you, I know that is important, it's very important, it's the most important part, I think, of the structure. Wouldn't you agree?
The part of the structure, repeat that for me, please.
In terms of starting the foundation in acquiring education, that the early childhood education, or getting the kids at elementary level, is most important.
I think the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta organization is onto a very good thing.
Amen.
On to where it is supposed to start.
Exactly my feeling.
We have got to prepare the next generation and the children in that for coping with what is clearly in the 21st century, the third millennium, a very kaleidoscopic state of existence. It's not, you can't prepare the child for a one-way street at all. He has got to, he or she has got to be multifaceted, multi-layered, and in fact have the capacity to cope with a vision which, of course, will render them capable of bringing meaning to the kaleidoscopic range of perceptions and what have you that the 21st century will, in fact, challenge them with.
Definitely.
And this is a whole new thing for education. It wasn't the old thing, but, you know, things go around in circles. Not so much in circles. I don't want to put it that way, as if there's no end to it. I'm a great believer in an old Bantu proverb, which says that you and I are mere manifestations of those gone before us, those living now, and those yet unborn, which is a marvelous cyclical way of looking at life and progress, you know. And therefore, it is very critical. That's why we have to learn from our history, from our parents, from our ancestors, so that we don't make their own mistakes and that, in fact, we can emulate the great achievements that they have left us.
Yeah, well, I know that all our listeners, sir, including the children, because this show will be archived. And as a matter of fact, I've already mentioned to the board, the mission board of the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta, that their students can come on and listen to you.
Good.
So with that said, I wanted to ask you, what can, talking about the past, what, is there any person or event you can remember that sort of directed you in your passion or helped you with determining which direction you would take in your education?
The best of that old generation which lived in my youth, and in very much one of them is my old grandmother, now dead, with whom I was brought up during some very important years of my life, and in rural Jamaica. She used to say, educate yourself, get an education, because once you get it, nobody can take it away from you. Stay in school. She never kept me away from school in order to go and work the ground, you know, the fields. Though I never escaped that, and nor would I have wanted to escape it. I had to get up very early in the mornings, from 4 in the mornings, 5 o'clock, to go and plant corn or peas in a neighbor's field. But she never, then I go to school.
Right.
And she said, get an education. And it's interesting, she said, because once you have it, nobody can take it away from you. It is yours to do with what your life challenges you to do with it. And the other thing, although she didn't travel at all, not more than 9 miles outside of her village, she said, and what is more, you can travel with it. Which,
right.
As I grew older, I said, my God, what wisdom. Then, of course, the schools, my teachers, were great, great role models for me, both men and women. And they made school very, very attractive for me, and learning in particular. Now, as you know, in Jamaica, take the thing of English. I'm speaking to you in what may sound like standard English, but that wasn't my first language. It still isn't. My first language is Jamaica talk. But nobody in my yard, where we did speak Jamaica talk, ever said to me, speak properly. No. I learned English as another language, learned the grammar, learned to speak it properly, learned to write it properly. I wrote essays which got high marks, but I spoke my own language, my dialect, so I was never ashamed of myself. And, you know, one of the things that you let a child, you have to get the child to appreciate what's in his her or his or her environment. So her language, her religion is very important. Who she is, a kinship pattern. I grew up in an extended family. My parents didn't have the benefit of confetti, but that didn't make me into a bastard and didn't make me feel less than whole and less than anybody else. Not at all. You know, I was a human being with my mind exposed to the best that my village had to offer, which was education. And that education was not simply learning the three R's, though those are very, very important, but also to exercise the creative imagination. You know, of course, in Jamaica and the rest of the Caribbean, we have more artists per square inch than is probably good for us.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because the exercise of the creative imagination led us into areas which were beyond the reach of prejudice and oppression and so on. So to create, we learned from early to create a song. And to make the songs that we, our folk people sang, to have them make sense to us, to create a poem and what have we. And the child, if the child in the time of her being educated is encouraged to do this kind of thing, to start something from scratch and to end up with something which makes sense, that gives him or her a sense of place, a sense of purpose, a sense of identity, and it takes him or her through life. It affords her, him or her, the opportunity to be generous to others, assuming, of course, that your adults who are with you, whether they are in school or the family, with a generosity of spirit. And all of that is what one learns. And I think all of this has to be plowed into the curriculum of the young school, the young school student. Very, very important. This thing, I'm a great believer in educating people than in simply training them. Because you can be trained without having one bit of caring or compassion.
Right, we call it book learning.
Well, not even book learning, indeed. And the important thing is that you have to understand to relate to people. Which brings me around to another point. That good old simple thing of nature study was so good it prepared me for science, what I subsequently learned about in science when I went to secondary school. And I've always said that you should not necessarily start with a computer if you want to introduce children to science. Let them go out and look at their environment around them, because what the Almighty has done for us, you know, that children now don't know a thing about photosynthesis, why leaves are green, how the sun or interact with the vegetation and whatever. But being a country boy and brought up in rural Jamaica, all of this I learned from I was 6-7 years old, you know, and I was fascinated with how things grow, and that helped to give me a sense of process. And one of the things I'm finding now that, you know, young people, because of this advance of science and technology, science and technology are critical, but they want everything overnight. You touch a button and something happens. No, I saw trees grow. It's a marvelous thing to see trees grow. I see, as an old Asian haiku says, they bear fruit, the fruits fall to the ground, and other trees grow.
Right.
So that the moment of maturation is the moment of degeneration, but that is also the moment of regeneration.
Right.
And it's a wonderful feeling of life, of knowing what life is, reproduction and process. And I think what you have to get the youngster to understand from very early is that sense of process.
Oh, that is marvelous, because I hear not only a message to the children to appreciate their environment and to really be participating in whatever it is that their parents are participating in, especially if it, in terms of being in love with the soil and the earth and the things around us, but also to the parents to be encouraging the children and making them feel safe and secure, not only safe and secure, but important. Because as you mentioned, that your conversation might not have been in English, but everything was a story, and your grandmother encouraged you just to be the best that you can be. It's interesting, as I listened to you, you know, a couple weeks ago on the Backyard Lavish, we did memory gems. And I don't know if you remembered any of those.
Oh,
I'm sure, because I've read some of your one-liners, sir, and they're just so on target. I said, my gosh, this is for, I just keep the flashing of the memory gems. And the one that comes to mind, I'm sure you know it, is good, better, best.
Yes.
Never let it rest until your good is better and your better best.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
And I read a comment that you made to a reporter who was interviewing you after one of the your dance recitals.
Yes.
And you talked to them. I don't have my papers here. You know, I'm old, so things are all over the place. I wrote it out, but what it was actually saying is when you knew it was ready is when you had done it over and over and over and over, and it just sort of came into itself.
Yes.
They were complimenting you on one of your productions.
Yes.
And I said, that brings that to mind, because I know for me, in my life, that was always in the back of my mind, you know, that I always wanted to make my good better till I got it to the best.
Yes, well, you know, it's interesting what you have said since you're on Labrish.
Yes.
The thing is, it takes me to the whole thing of another thing which I'm encouraging young people, my students and otherwise, is that sustained application is critical in all that. If once you try and you think you fail, try and keep trying again. So sustained application is very good. The trouble is that we tend to be sprinters rather than long-distance runners. And I keep telling a lot of young people at the moment that, look, the tremendous achievement of Bolt, Usain Bolt, the magnificent, is 9:58 in the 100 meters, is the result of hours, years, months, work in preparing for all of this, mental and physical. And you have to bear in mind that the experience of his coaches, who clearly have done very well in advising him and so on. And those are years of experience, I mean, corresponding to the years of experience of your parents and your older teachers. And that, in fact, the respect for elders is critical, because not because they simply have gray hairs, but they will have lived and they will have experienced and learned from their own mistakes and are able to pass on to the young what might very well be best for them. So don't let us indulge matricidal and patricidal instincts and want to kill off our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
in doing
yes,
that,
yes.
We are really killing off ourselves.
Right.
All of this is very important for the young.
Amen. Well, I am sure that everyone listening, both the parents and the children, can learn so much from you. Another thing that I mentioned to someone I spoke to today is that, you know, I've read a lot or I've tried to catch up with some of what you have done, but hearing your voice, and you can actually feel the passion for what you do. And I noticed that was mentioned by everyone who wrote about a production or wrote about being in your presence or wrote about being taught by you. And as you mentioned, you know, a lot of times children, the younger generation, in all over the world, not just in Jamaica, but they tend to not want to make time for their elders, you know, or to listen or to sift through. Sometimes we talk a lot. I know my children tell me that all the time. But somewhere along all that talk are nuggets of wisdom from life experience. So what I hear you saying is that it is important, and it's even more important when it's not just words on a paper, but it's voice. It's voice, like we're sharing now.
That's right. Oh, yes. And in fact, despite all that I have said, incidentally, I am an incurable optimist. I have great, great hope for the future, as long as we are willing to invest that future in our young people and invest in our young people to help shape that future.
And how important it is to us, even though we might not be here, as well as to them and their future generation.
Oh, yes, undoubtedly.
As you said about the tree, you know, and the fruit.
Yes.
And the rebirth of that tree. So they need to start thinking in those terms.
Yes, but the older generation have to help them. Some of us as parents,
yes.
Some of us as parents have not been very good. And particularly if we have been poor and we have developed, we have progressed on the basis of hardships. We don't want our children to suffer what we did, therefore.
Mm.
And that is not always the right approach. Let them go through life themselves and experience some of the hardships as well as some of the successes.
I aimed men to that, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I know that the program this evening is more or less a local thing, but this broadcast goes all over the world, and Blog Talk Radio is very popular. And I want to know what message you may have for people in the diaspora in terms of, you know, reaching out and helping, because me personally, I don't plan to go back to Jamaica. My children were born here, raised here. They, at the moment, don't even have any interest in my history. But I know as they get older, they will have more interest. And I have three grandsons that I'm really doing a lot of this for. And I'm trying to encourage older people, Jamaicans, or friends of Jamaica, to join me in the backyard, you know, and help us to leave some messages for the next generation. Because this will be here forever. What we're doing will be archived forever.
No, let me tell you, only barbarians are not interested in where they come from.
Mm.
And there is enough evidence and experience of the Americas, of which the Caribbean is an integral part, to show that the people who have come from elsewhere, because apart from the Native Americans, we have all come from elsewhere, and that we have to be interested in strengthening the soil from which we came. And
yeah,
we are expecting from the diaspora not only their remittances, but their goodwill and continuing interest in the institutions of growth and development, which we back in our mother country, Jamaica in our case, the case here, or wherever else in the Caribbean or anywhere else, that for that matter, we are interested in their development. I was saying only a while ago how the fantastic growth and development of China, mainland China, has benefited tremendously from their diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
And we in the Caribbean hope that we will benefit from your continuing goodwill here on both sides of the Atlantic, and whatever else you can do to help us help ourselves.
Yes, I know a lot of people feel, some people, not a lot, but some people feel because they don't plan to go back and retire, they sort of don't have an interest. But I, for one, know that I am retired. I am devoting my time to doing my research and helping in whatever way I can.
Well, we are grateful for this. And tell you, it will all come out in the wash.
Oh, yes. So I'm using the platform to just encourage more people and to leave a verbal nugget of wisdom for the next generation. I know that my children will be using this platform in terms of the internet.
Yes.
You know, for their information, and I'm sure that perhaps a lot of people in the diaspora, their children and grandchildren, might be using the same medium, and we will be able to, they'll be able to, and they should be, you know, seeking information, because me personally, I have found things out about Jamaicans in 1874 more now that I've been doing this than I ever knew, and I am just so fascinated. I'm like a, as you, if I can say it in my language, mother young gal.
Yes, that's good.
You know, because it's just been very inspirational to me. And I know that you are a senior too.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you one more question before we go off the air, and is I notice you've penned several books, and I plan to, you know, I can put some of them that you might have on Amazon when the show is being aired. But I wanted to know if you had a favorite. I know you wrote about your artistic talents, and there's one book called Dance Jamaica.
That's right. Well,
and a lot of several other books. I wanted to have a favorite.
You never should ask that question. I don't know what is my favorite book. I tried to do it. But I tell you, coming up very soon is a sequel to Dance Jamaica called Renewal and Continuity. And you see, we have been talking a lot about this, that you, in fact, many of us who are elders have to learn to preside over our own liquidation and prepare the young to take our place. And
right.
I, in the arts, the performing arts, and in the university in education, I am strategically placed to do just this. And that is coming. The other thing that I'm working on now and hopefully will get out very soon is the thing of what I call engaging the silence. Because people like us, and this is really where your own children and the offspring of the people in the diaspora have to remember that people like us, particularly people of African ancestry, have been relegated to a form of silence.
Mm.
We make a lot of noise, but even when we're making noise, it's amazing. It is silent. People have a way of not listening to us, or even in our achievements, we become great sportsmen, great performing artists, great dancers, great whatever. But they regard us as minstrels to entertain our betters, you know. And we have to keep fighting this, and we have done this in several ways. I am grateful to my ancestors and to the generation before me for the sensible way in which they have, in fact, engaged the silence so that they can move forward.
Amen. Well, that is well said. As usual, I must confess to you, sir, that I was, you know, I know about you, of course. I don't think there's anyone on the planet that doesn't. However, I didn't know a lot about your work. But then I remember that I wanted to ask you if you were part of Ivy Baxter Dancers.
Definitely.
When the Princess Margaret came to Jamaica.
When what?
When Princess Margaret came to Jamaica.
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, then perhaps we must have met because I was in the Army then, Queen Alexander Royal Army Nursing Corps,
right.
And I was also dancing with Ivy Baxter, and we did a piece for that, whatever they called it then, at camp, a dance,
yes.
A cultural dance for that event. So I'm saying at some time our path might have crossed.
Yes. Well, the dance, like other performing arts, are an excellent way of our, not simply entertaining our betters, but communicating our inner feelings.
Right, the expression. I can just remember the feeling, and even at my age, I'm still dancing.
Good, wonderful.
Because it releases, you know, everything.
Good.
Joy. There's so much passion.
Definitely.
When you express yourself in dance.
Definitely.
And, I mean, you will go down in history, as far as I can see, and all of your fans would agree with me, as someone who has just perfected the art of communication in all of the books that you have penned and those that you have edited and just everything that you've done for the culture, not just Jamaican culture, but just culture, period, but especially African culture. And I want to ask you, because as I was speaking with George Graham before we came on the air, who is an author too, a Jamaican author, and he suggested that I ask you, you know, it seems like you beat so many odds. You mentioned about coming from humble beginnings in Jamaica, and yet you are known worldwide. And we just wondered if you had dreamed about this when you were a child.
No, not at all. I wouldn't have, not at all.
Really?
No. But it's just that I was brought up happily in a situation where, you know, you must do the best that you can. And whatever you are doing, do it fully. And in fact, life will take you along, you know. And this was really been. Then, of course, I was lucky to have been around at the time when Jamaica was really shaping itself out of self-government into independence. So in a way, I grew up with modern Jamaica.
I got you. Yes, yes. And how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, Lord, please don't ask me that. you know, the people will remember me to choose what I should be remembered about.
Oh, yes. Well, that is a good answer. Well, right now I am just so fascinated and I'm so honored. And, you know, on behalf of Benevolent Missions, I would like to mention their website. They're at www.benevolentmissions.com. And the event is today. However, you know, our listeners can go online and donate, and there'll be a lot of information about what the mission is doing, as well as they will also have this segment of the show that listeners can go back to and listen. And I look forward to meeting you today. And I know that, you know, we're going to be listening to the show over and over and over again, because, as I mentioned, you know, just hearing someone that you respect and someone as honored as you are, and you are, sir, I'm sure you're aware of that. But, you know, I just want to let you know that we really appreciate you taking the time to share with us today.
I thank you very much for having me.
And I look forward to seeing you later on, and I want to encourage our listeners to support the cause, because you took time out to come up here today to support the cause, because that's how important it is.
Bless you.
All righty. Well, thank you much, and you have a great day, and I don't have to talk about continued success, so because, you know, this will go on. They talk about Michael Jackson being going on for years and years. I see you and your work spanning many generations in the future.
Bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you, sir, and good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.